It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, folks, it is time for another edition of Valley Edition. And this is a little special, a little different, because we're focusing on, in some respects, a virtual road tour of 4th of July celebrations, both in the Valley, where we have people who live in the Valley participating, and also places where people have gone outside of the Mat-Su Borough to celebrate in a variety of diverse locations. We're going to begin right now with Philip Manning from Talkeetna. Welcome, Philip.
Pleasure to be here, Mike.
So you survived yet another 4th of July in Talkeetna. Would you share what that was like?
Sure. Well, and I would say it's not quite over yet, because since Independence Day fell right smack in the middle of the week, both weekends that bookend it, we expect to be extremely busy. Last weekend was very busy, and we're expecting another big one this beginning today, I suppose. But yeah, so the 4th of July in Talkeetna is always one of the busiest days of the summer. We have a local parade where you've got businesses, nonprofits, clubs, organizations that all get together and do a couple of laps around Main Street, and that's always very well attended. And then we've got something that I think is fairly unique to Talkeetna, which is the Moose on Parade auction, which is held in the Village Park. And what happens is businesses and nonprofits sponsor and buy these cutout wooden moose, and then they get artists to decorate them in various forms and fashions, and then they're auctioned off, and those proceeds go to help three local nonprofits, the Talkeetna Chamber of Commerce, the Talkeetna Historical Society, and the Denali Arts Council. And this year, by all accounts, they had a record-breaking year at that auction. They had one moose that sold for $2,000, which, far and away, it's definitely the highest one I've ever seen, and I suspect it's probably the most expensive one ever. And then I think there was another one that went for $16. So a lot of money raised for local nonprofits with that. And then I think one of the great Talkeetna traditions is every year on the 4th of July, the Denali Cooks play at the Fairview Inn. And for those, Denali Cooks are pretty well known, I would say, around the state as a band, and they got their start 28 years ago on the 4th of July playing at the Fairview Inn, and so they come back every year and do that gig again, and it's always a lot of fun. There's always a big local turnout for that. They're definitely, I would argue that they are quite possibly Talkeetna's favorite band, so.
Very good. Very good. What kind of estimate do you have for the numbers of people wandering through and watching things in Talkeetna this 4th?
That's a tough one. I was actually part of the parade this year as a member of the Denali Arts Council, and just looking around, I mean, there were hundreds of people, easily hundreds and hundreds of people lining the streets all the way out from, you know, about half mile down the Spur Road, all the way around and through downtown. So easily thousands of people in town at some point during the day on Wednesday.
Now, sometimes, especially at this time of year, people take advantage of parades and the large groups of people to have some kind of political representation. Did you find anything of that sort there?
You know, not so much this year. I think we had we did see some of that a couple of weeks ago for the Pride Parade. There were some candidates represented here, but not so much I didn't see much on Independence Day itself.
Okay. Well, I'm going to share a little bit of where I was on the 4th. We had a visitor from outside, my wife's sister, and so we did the grand tour, taking the ferry across from Whittier to Valdez, driving up to and staying in, or just outside of McCarthy. We had heard tales of the kind of event that would be there, and so we thought we might be representing the Valley, but we found that there were other people who were also there in the parade in McCarthy, which is the high point of life there. Over winter, maybe 20 people. during the summer season, maybe about 300 people living there, and of course, thousands of visitors for Kennecott Mine and McCarthy. They have a parade, which is extraordinary. It goes around twice. And the message that I heard from people who've been around a long time is back in the day, there weren't enough people to both watch and be in the parade. So they would go through, half people would go through marching, and then they would become the onlookers, while the other half of the people went around once more in the parade.
Multitasking.
Yes, yes, very interesting. But I can tell you that that day has long passed because they were, I would estimate, and again, with you, it's hard to do that, but certainly a few thousand people. And the most colorful displays I have seen with incredible participation, it had to be the entire town that was there, as well as Park Service representatives and just people who joined in and did the parade. And once again, I saw nothing that even smacked a little bit of political posturing or participation, if you will, in that parade. But I can say that it was, as they pointed out, one of the hottest days of the year. And they, like we, have enjoyed some incredible heat. And it was shorts and all the rest. And just a very, very pleasant time. Some members of a music group that we have heard quite a bit about, the Supersaturated Sugar Strings, were there playing in the band. There were a couple of three restaurants and a local beer. I have a picture of it. A local beer from one of our Palmer breweries was on display and being sold as well. So we have people from the valley. Some people have extended their summer or winter time to buy property in that area. There's some private holdings. So I suspect you'll see more valley people up in McCarthy in the future. But all in all, a very, very pleasant time. Just good feeling overall, I'd have to say.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I haven't made it out there yet, but I definitely want to at some point.
Okay. Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today for the special edition of Valley Edition, none other than the Sports Reporter of the Year.
Just in my own mind, Mike.
Okay. Tim Rocky, who this 4th of July chose, of all the different places you could choose to go, you chose to go to Willow, Alaska. Tim, what was it like up there?
It was a lot more happening than I assumed 4th of July on Willow was going to be. I am a veteran of Palmer parades and potlucks as well, and so these type of community gatherings are no stranger to me. And going to Willow, I was pleasantly surprised at how well their spin on it went. Their parade wasn't quite the, hour and a half to 2 hour length of the some Colony Days parades can get, but it was short, it was sweet, it was to the point, it was great. They had a live marching band. They have a king and queen that they elect at the Willow Winter Carnival, Mark Merrill and Dagmar Hess, and it was just a great small scale family fun event. The community picnic that followed at the Willow Community Center right after the parade saw just about everybody walk the, I don't know, quarter mile, half mile down the bike path and then go hang out on the lawn in front of the lake for however long it took to get food. And let me tell you, everybody in Willow was there, and it took a little while to get your food.
Was it warm by any chance?
It was one of the hotter days of the year by far. I was layered up and ready to go with pockets and notebooks and cameras, and I was burning up.
Okay, this was the first time in Willow.
It was the first time in Willow for the 4th of July. I had also taken in the Willow Winter Carnival this winter, which is a much different atmosphere temperature-wise, but similar community community outreach. It was great to see, out of all the questions that I was asking the different people who were in the parade or just helping out as community emergency response team members or serving burgers, they were happy to be serving their community, helping out, their friends and their family on 4th of July. And a lot of them felt like that was one of the most patriotic things they could have been doing on Independence Day, was not to, just shoot off fireworks and grill and, I don't know, hang out on the lake and have a couple cold ones, but to serve your fellow Willow community members, there was a lot of work that went into it, and everybody was happy to do it. So it was great to see.
And one last question. This is the season, beginning of the season, for political displays. Any politicians there?
I did not recognize any politicians there, but I can recall that there were at least three political floats. I don't know that they were piloted by the politicians themselves. I think there may have been one state house candidate that I had not recognized. It's very possible was in the car. I just didn't recognize them. But the politics were mostly left aside, and it was the fun and the little kids throwing out candy is everybody's favorite, obviously. Nobody can beat the little girls that walk around and throw out candy. So that was a treat. They also had a dog sled mounted on the back of a very old pickup that looked like was still used for fire rescue purposes. It was a very unique twist on the Independence Day parade. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Okay, well, thank you, Tim Rocky, for coming in and sharing that event.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, take care now. Well, it's my great pleasure to add to our collection of 4th of July experiences by people either here in the Valley or who have traveled from the Valley elsewhere. I think it's possible that David Cheesham has done the most interesting travel to get to 4th of July. Where were you on the road at that point, David?
I started the day at Kamiah, Idaho. And I rode up some back roads. Let's see. And I think by the time I got to Green Creek, I had gone up about maybe 3,000 feet elevation. I had some more to go after that. I did a total of 7,000 feet that day. And I came in the road just it was coming up the mountains, and at first it was just kind of closed in with a very nice curvy road, climbing, steady climb up, and then it opened up and curved around in these rolling hills and ranch land, just beautiful open land, and I curved around, and I came to Green Creek, Idaho, and all these cars were parked, and it was about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. So they weren't, I don't know if they were going to have a parade. They were going to have some kind of festival. There was a big community center, and they were playing bingo. And I went in and asked if I could fill my water bottle, and they were very happy to let me do that. And then I had the best glass of orange juice I've ever had in my life. Nice and cold. It was so refreshing, and everyone was very cheerful and happy. It was just a great, great break. And then I went on and did 82 miles or more that day and climbed about 7,000 feet. By the time I got to Lewiston and I checked into a motel, a motel there, and I didn't even hear the fireworks. I fell asleep. And I know fireworks went on because it's right on the river and it's a great place. It's where the Clearwater River and the Snake River meet there, and so I slept like a zombie and woke up, took the next day off, and then I am riding off today.
And so are you in Washington State right now?
I am in Washington State. I'm heading to Pompoi, Washington, and I expect me to sell. I've been hearing rumors about it ever since all the way back in Missouri, and then again in mid-Montana, somebody said they saw him, but in Missouri they said I'd find him in Montana, and then in Montana they said I'd find him in Pompoi. And this is Churchill Clark, who is a descendant of William Clark, and he goes around and he builds dugout canoes in the same fashion that they would have at the time of Lewis and Clark.
Oh, fascinating. So, fascinating.
So, and it's just fascinating that I keep hearing about him, but I keep missing him. So I don't know if I'll see him in Pompoi or not.
Well, David, that means that although we've had discussions of all kinds of different celebrations, this show is devoted to looking at different places Even a remote place like McCarthy, where there were thousands of people gathered for their celebration, you had your own personal time, both on the road and knowing that 4th of July was happening. Do you have any sense of having missed being with a larger group as you were doing this?
No, I don't, but I'm just catching my breath. Did you say 1,000 people were in McCarthy?
Yes, yes, indeed. And we were amongst them, and there were others from the Valley who were there. It was a surprise. It's their biggest time and event, et cetera. They do this parade, and we'll just have to devote an entire time later on to it. But a fascinating, fascinating time. So there we go. There were certainly many people in Wasilla. There were many people even in Willow. There were certainly many, many people in Talkeetna. Phil Manning has spoken about that. But there's also some virtue, I think, in being on the road. And you were able to represent that.
Oh, well, great. Well, it's 87 last time I checked here, and it's supposed to get up to 105 in a couple of days. So
you may ride at night.
Yeah. I might just do that. But I'm thinking more and more about Palmer, and I am looking forward to seeing the Valley again.
Oh, we look forward to seeing you and hearing tales of the road.
Okay.
Thank you, David Cheeseman, for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, now we'll turn to an interview that Joseph Davis did with one of the, well, probably the organizer for the 4th of July activities up there in Glacier View. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Joseph Davis with the Glacier Review. On the 4th of July wrap-up, I'm here with superstar Arnie Hernser, who is the man behind the magic here in Glacier View. Arnie, you had a giant event here in Glacier View. Tell me, did it take a day to prepare, 2 days? What goes into preparing like this?
Well, I think the way to start on something like that is there is no I in team. So without such great support that we have around here, afar and locally, that we began preparing this a couple of weeks ago, just trucking some railroad rails out of Fairbanks, installing it properly.
Wait a minute. Railroad rails from Fairbanks. Well, what are you starting a little choo-choo train? What's going on with rails?
That was for the new design to do the monorail, and we used the cable system last year, and the cable just wasn't stout enough, so we used these 4-inch high risers railroad rail, and they weighed 70 pounds per foot, and just to install that and tie that to the ground, that is just a whole feat within itself. I got to give a lot of credit to Dustin on that whole program. And like, I woke up at 3 o'clock the other morning thinking, paper plates. We never thought about paper plates. And so, you know, just 1,000 little things like that. So a lot of preparation goes into it. And you think of the little things like a fork. Did you remember to get forks? I thought you got the forks. No, you got
okay,
the forks.
Arnie, okay. Arnie, so this has been one amazing process. You got railroad rail to guide a car off the cliff. And installing that and anchoring it down is prodigious. How many cars did you have this year?
We did 6 of them in 1 snow machine, and each one was beyond a successful launch. With that railroad rail, a 300-foot track, they were actually shifting into third gear, and so that's just never been happened before.
Wait a minute. There was a human body in this car shifting into third gear?
Well, no, it's pretty much we use everything with an automatic transmission. So, you know, the ratchet straps have got everything's going pell-mell. And it was a first-ever dual car launch. So we were actually having fun talking about the first mid-air collision, not with airplanes, but with flying Cadillacs.
So here in Glacier View, going off of your cliff was a car guided by a wire and from last year and a car guided by a railroad rail. And it went off the cliff, and they collided and crashed down below. Is that right?
No, we had no cable system from last year. We depleted that. We just used a railroad rail system, and then we just did our good old ramp to where you tie the steering wheel and go from there.
Awesome, and it worked. And now, so you had a lot of people. How many people showed up this year?
Well, we took some good guesses, and I'd say between 2,500 and 3,200, somewhere in that ballpark. And here's what the good news is.
That's a lot. What do you mean? That's huge. That's humongous.
It is. It is. Parking was backed up right here in the parking lot, which is 1.3 miles away from where we're actually doing it. But here's the great thing. We never ran out of food. Actually, I'd like to give you some leftover food when we get through with this. Okay. I'm dead serious.
So you had 900 pounds of pork. You had good homemade beans. And you had coleslaw, and then you sold pizza and also had ice cream cones dipped in chocolate. Is that right?
We just had all different types. So we had espresso explosion and death by chocolate. Oh, some great ice creams. I mean, ice creams, you can caramel, salted, on and on and on. So anyway, it is a great success. Nobody went away hungry. Safety was on top of the list the whole day long. I had no issues with that. And looks like we're making plans already for next year. But, of course, that's... we can't share that as of today. And so, you know, but it's going to be a whole nother program that is, it's already in the making, and it started yesterday, actually.
Okay, so what we're talking about is here in Glacier View, at about mile 99, Arnie has a great big 4th of July event a lot of people participate in. He has cars going off the cliff. He has food. You had a flyover with, who did the flyover?
That was Dwayne with Kingdom Air Corps, and that was a great flyover as a four-plane formation this year. And so...
And that was at high noon, and that's how it starts.
It all begins with the flyover at high noon. That
and
is
then
correct.
Followed by the pledge and invocation.
Right. And so, of course, the blessing of our nation, because everything is to honor the veterans, the ones that are not here anymore. And when you watch that... the planes flying away, and they did the missing man formation. If you don't get goosebumps up and down your spine, you've got problems. I got them just talking about it right now.
Arnie, thank you very much. Thanks for your time. We got a very short interview today, but we'll get more as the season progresses. This is Joseph Davis in Glacier View, Alaska, at Arnie Hernser's about mile 99 for Happy 4th of July.
Well, for the last city, maybe one of the most interesting in terms of exertion. We're turning to Seward, and what we're going to do is have two people, talk about the experience there. One who watched events, and the second person who participated in the event. Tiana, you were there with your brother. He was going to be running up Mount Marathon and possibly one of the hottest days that's been experienced down there for this race. How did it feel to be a spectator?
It was crazy, just like every other year. Obviously, it's just amazing to see all these young people and adults racing this mountain that's quite dangerous, actually. But it was quite a spectacle. Every year, so many people come out to Seward to see this race being run, and it's just... it's a great atmosphere, and the energy is, it's always positive, and there's just so much positivity around these runners and what they're accomplishing.
So do you have any estimate about how many people were there? Were there thousands or?
Oh, easy. Normally Seward is a couple thousand in population, and on the 4th of July, it jumps to 15,000, I think.
Okay.
A lot of people.
Now you have run this race in the past, and probably on somewhat cooler days. How does it feel to be watching rather than running on up there?
Oh, I was so relieved. The relief was palpable. I was very glad that I was not one of the women running in that race this year.
Okay. Have you ever run when it's been raining down there?
My first year, it was wet. It had just rained the night before, I'm pretty sure. I don't think I've ever run it in the rain, though.
Ah, okay. Okay. So any other summary statements you want to make about the crowd, since you had a chance to witness this, really, a 4th of July separation with the keynote being the run up and down the Mount Marathon. Any other comments you'd like to share about the people, the events? Was there a parade or anything else?
There was a parade. The parade normally happens between the two adult races, but it's such a positive event, and there's so many people out there cheering, and it doesn't matter what place you come in. Everyone is just there to support you and see you accomplish this great feat.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Tiana. And next up will be Jackson Lee, who ran the race. So, Jackson, your sister has been able to describe what it means. it's like to watch. And since she had the opportunity in the past to run, she was very happy to be watching. But you were not watching so much unless you paused along the way. Jackson, you ran the race. What was it like? You've done this before.
Yeah, this was my fourth year running Mount Marathon in the junior division. And this year was extremely hot, and there's definitely a lot of people. It's been getting busier and busier every year. And it just gets more competitive every year as we go along. The trails get a little bit rougher, and, well, the competition gets a little bit harder because people are starting to train for this event. And, well, I didn't train that much over the season to try to prepare for this race. It just kind of snuck up on me, and so I went out there trying to do my best and, well, came back with an okay result.
Some people found that, of course, coming back, they look forward to being able to come down the snow chute. Did you do that, or did you avoid it?
This year, the snow has actually been a pretty warm year, and the snow was just above the turnaround for us. It was only for the adults race.
Got it.
But in past years, there's been snow under the shale, and it's really become a problem for slipping down that shale. So, yeah, I didn't have to experience the snow this year.
What was this really that much hotter than years past?
There was, I think, 2 years back, there was another day where there was no cloud cover, and it was about 60 or 77, 80, and that was, I think, the hottest year for us. But this year it was a little, the morning wasn't as hot, and we had a little bit of cloud cover out there, so it wasn't as bad as previous years.
So how do you feel about celebrating the 4th of July by going down and running up this mountain?
It doesn't really feel like a celebration, honestly. It's kind of it's just a grueling pain, and just trying to get up there and down there in a good time and be happy with your results. And so, I mean, it's really fun after you're done and looking back at it, but in the time, it's not the best.
What you do provide is a focus for the thousands of people who go down to Seward and celebrate the 4th by watching some run, obviously.
Yeah.
But others just watching this amazing race up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any last comments?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in and sharing. We've just finished up a whole series of looks at different ways that people do the 4th of July, from McCarthy to Talkeetna to Willow, being on the road, Montana, also in Glacier View. Just different ways to enjoy a holiday. Thank you.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.